Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 is the number. I think today's a buffet day, Bart. Don't you think? Today's got to be full buffet. There's too much on the menu. You got Mets are in L.A. They face Yamamoto tonight. West Coast trip for the Metsies.
Ooh, is that
Yankees
is that
and
personal?
Rays at the ballpark in the boogie down. Obviously, this weekend is all about the playoffs. Knicks game one on Saturday. Rangers game one on Sunday. The draft a week away or less than a week away. Joe Douglas spoke today. What Joe Shane was saying yesterday. I almost feel like we just go like buffet. Like, don't matter what we're talking about. What do you want to talk about? And we'll just do it all.
What's on your heart, man? I tell you what, because, you know, listen, we didn't have any activity yesterday. Now we got, you know, speculation, people talking, all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's leftovers because we can just continue the conversation that we had yesterday and expand on it.
You're right about
that. You know what I'm saying? Now that we got more information, you know what I'm saying? So this is like leftovers. And let me tell you something, ain't nothing like some leftover barbecue after all them juices and soaked back up in that meat. You know what I'm saying?
It is true.
And come over to Bro's right Brother Barbecue. You tired of going to these places where they give you more sauce and they give you meat? Bring your the Burroughs Barbecue. We only got one location, so it's closer near you.
B&H Barbecue.
Tastes so good, make you want to smack your mama.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Come here, mama.
But we don't recommend you do that.
Yeah.
Joe Douglas spoke today. He's just wrapping up, so we'll get all that stuff for you set up. And Joe Shane to me said a lot more yesterday than some of the stuff I've seen Joe Douglas say today. And a lot of the other, you know, like there'll be things that make headlines like the Zach Wilson stuff, but there's really not a lot for the Jets. But I'm telling you, Bart, that Brock Bowers thing just continues to hover. And I mean, everybody I've asked that is an expert or even preparing for the draft, all our ESPN people, anyone I see, they all say the same thing. The guy's a real deal. Plug in, like he'll step in, he'll be great. But they all go, but the Jets really need to have depth at offensive line. Like, that's the most important area. Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. But the sense is that the Jets seem to want to bring in the skill player at the tight end position.
I mean, they're going for broke. They're going for everything is going to go right for us.
Right.
I feel that's what they're saying. If you're saying that, that's what you're saying. You're saying that, hey, Tyron Smith's going to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vera Tucker's going to stay healthy. You know, and that's what they're saying. They're saying, oh, everybody's going to stay healthy. They're thinking glass half full. And even if they don't, you know, this has to come from Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron, if we go get you the weapon and we lose Tyron, does that mean that you can be able to compensate for maybe the lack of having Carter Warren at left tackle? That's something you have to ask Aaron Rodgers. And if Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, man, listen, the ball will be out. Listen, we can put a tight end to that side. Because you imagine, like, really, you know, if they have Tyron Smith, right, and, you know, everybody's healthy, and their main personnel is two tight ends, with Conklin on one side and the rookie on one, being split out, being used as a chess piece. And now, you know, you got to figure out, okay, what the hell I'm going to do? Right, they got two number one receivers out there. They got a dangerous tight end, and then they have another tight end that can give you 700 yards in Conklin. Oh, by the way, Breece Hall caught like 60-70 balls last year, and he can go for that. So then you talk about that type of personnel where you can pair the tight ends, you can split the tight ends. You know, 12 personnel would be, or Tiger, what I call it, would be the main personnel. And now you're saying, well, both of my older tackles are covered up. And you got to go past the tight ends chipping on the way out before you get to them. So that's going to allow them to get back. So, you know, from a protection standpoint, you know, you can add, hey, you know, these guys into the protection. But, man, oh, man, when you talk about getting one-on-ones and favorable matchups, when you talk about having basically four – basically with those guys, it's four wides. But as a defense, I see two guys like this. This is a problem that we had when, you know, New England had Hernandez and Gronk. And I think Randy Moss was there 1 year, right? So that was one great receiver, number one receiver. They didn't really have a number two. I mean, they had Wes Welker, but he was a slot. But you talk about, man, you talk about difficulty and putting a lot of stress and pressure because you're like, okay, well, let's go sub package, because you know, two tight ends, we're going to say they're playing at like four wide. So we got to go out of it. Let's go get our fast little guys. And then you put your fast little guys out there. So, you pull your dime out there that's 220, right? And your dime is 220 or maybe 210, and he's in the box. And now you got two tight ends that's 260 pounds, and that's who they got to block. And then, oh, by the way, if those guys do defeat the block from them, he's 210 pounds, and he's lined up man-to-man with Breece Hall at 220 coming downhill. So you can play that game. But if they do that, if they don't sign Bakhtiari, which I think probably that's what Rodgers is pushing for, like get me the weapon, get me the veteran that can help me this year, and then go get me my ace Bone Coon because he held me down, he suspended me in the media, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What I'm saying is next year when you have to sign Tyron Smith back again because let's say he has a good year and he stays healthy, he gonna want it back. So, like, you're going to have to pay him, right? So that's cool if he can stay healthy, but you're going to have to pay him, and you don't have his replacement in-house. So now you have to figure out, okay, next year, what can we do to move up to get one of these left tackles? Now, they may say, you know what, we're all in, so next year we're going to, you know, trade next year's two, and we're going to do what we have to do. But they did that for Hassan Reddick. So they're going to say, hey, man, next year do we give up? We're expecting that next year, like Minnesota did this year, are we going to say they're going to be like Minnesota where they're going to trade next year's one, maybe with Kansas City, maybe with Baltimore, maybe with the Detroit Lions, get the Detroit Lions next year's number one so they can move back in into the first round and get one of these young tackles, you know, at the bottom of the draft. Like I said, the guy from Arizona, but the Jets don't have a two. So they would have to, you know, finagle some stuff or maybe even trade somebody to try and get a two, try and recoup a two.
They have a lot of options, obviously. And I did kind of push the idea of, right, F them picks, right? I have been saying that. But every time I talk to somebody who's an expert in this that has been preparing for this draft, that's like the vibe I keep getting is those two things.
Well,
the Jets really
special.
Need to prioritize offensive line, but this guy is a stud,
right?
Like that's really what it. And it's also if the wide receiver, like you mentioned, if one of them falls to 10, then you're taking the wide receiver,
right?
But they don't think that's going to happen, so it's. Tight end could be a special weapon kind of player that you'll have on the team forever, and that you can get a tackle or you can get an offensive lineman later.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, in my opinion, we all think that Joe Alt's going to go 7 to Tennessee.
Yes.
First of all, I don't know if San Diego is going to even stay in that spot. So that's one, right? You don't know if San Diego is going to stay there. Giants are sitting there. I don't think they're rumored for the tight end, but maybe they say, okay, hey, he's too good, Darren Waller situation, whatever. But I see the scenario where the Tennessee Titans, in my opinion, I see the Tennessee Titans taking a tackle. I mean, taking a tight end. I mean, what else do you need if you're Tennessee? You got Tony Pollard, and I think we last
they signed
year
him. Yeah.
Yes, but they have two. Number we talk about the Jets receivers. You can argue that the Tennessee Titans receivers are better than the Jets receivers.
Who they just brought in, right?
Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins.
Right.
So you put a tight end with that and Tony Pollard, who's like one of the guys that you want to get in space. You look at what he did in Dallas. And then in my head, I'm saying, is the Tennessee Titans really going to draft two tackles 2 years in a row? Because they drafted a tackle in the first round last year, and I think nobody's talking about the fact that they just drafted a rookie tackle last year. How many people we know that signed the same position 2 years in a row? That's outside the Jets drafting Quentin Coples, Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, and Leonard Williams. Yep. Like, how did that work out?
Yeah, well, that was the whole idea of the exercise of you just draft the best player available. That's what you're supposed to do, and that did not work out well.
Right, if Joe Alt's out there, if Joe Alt's there, man, I'm going to tackle. But maybe they feel like it's Joe Alt and everybody else.
Well, Douglas has been good, by the way, at wheeling and dealing on draft day. We know that. We've already seen him do it. We know how he can be when it comes to picks and getting extra picks and moving around. I think he'll be active. He's got a lot of friends in the business. He knows people. And so you know, we'll see how it goes. He was quite benign, though, today, in my opinion. And I don't expect him to say much of anything. There was really nothing more to talk about. And so when he was asked,
pretty.
Yeah, well, when he was asked about the idea of taking, without naming names, taking a tight end in the top 10, it was just like more hypothetical. His answer was,
well, look, if that tight end can become someone that has turned into, you know, what Kansas City, San Francisco, what Laporte did last year in Detroit, like those are dynamic weapons for your offense and guys that put a lot of stress on your defense because they create mismatches. You know, it's hard to put a linebacker on one of those guys, put a DB on one of those guys, it creates a size mismatch, and put a safety on those guys. Well, he better be able to run. He better be able to play man coverage. So like the right type of tight end can be a real weapon.
Sounds like they love Brock Bowers, doesn't it?
Basically. So basically
he just described it for you. Yes. He just told you what he just said there. If you take away, like, that's how Bowers has been described to people. You know, he's the type of weapon that the Chiefs have in Kelce, that the Niners have in Kittle. You mentioned Laporta and his impact. And I was told yesterday by a couple of the draft experts that I was chatting with, our ESPN people, he's way better than Laporta. That's what they said. When I brought up Laporta, it was like, oh, he's way better than him. Like, damn. And I said, he had immediate impact in the Lions. And they're like, yeah, this guy will. Wherever he goes, he's a starter. And that he's not just, like I said, well, what, a Kyle Pitts kind of a receiver? No. This guy blocks. He's great in schemes. Like, he's a smart. He is the prototype tight end that he's on the field for three downs. You're not taking him off for different packages. This guy's on the field.
So if that's the case, and you love what Rucker has done, then I'm looking at Conklin in that contract, and I'm saying, can I trade him on draft day to somebody?
Yeah, I'm
looking like, okay, who's my guys? Who's my boys? Okay, we got San Diego. They need a tight end, right? Because I think Giants. They lost.
Well, Everett. The Giants like the
Giants and Jets working together. We talking.
The other tight end they have though, who's actually really serviceable, is it Bellinger? Right?
Yeah, Bellinger.
Okay, so they probably already have that locked up. But yeah, I mean, you're right. It might end up turning into that. It might turn into that.
Yeah, you calling like, hey man, give me a six. Give me a six for Conklin. You know what I'm saying? Out there, you know, Conklin, you know, 700 yards. You put him with Justin Herbert.
And you don't do it until you get to your pick, and if, like, Adunze is there, okay, never mind. Right? Like, I almost feel like that's the place you're in.
Somebody always falls, man. It's always some wacky.
If something crazy happens and Minnesota jumps up, and then they get the quarterback, and now it moves everybody down one, and all of a sudden Adunze sitting in your, you know, in your lap for 10, of course you take Adunze. But I guess that's what they do in this situation is these are our two options and we're going for skill. And you know why? Because last year they didn't in the first round. Remember?
Yep.
Last year they got it brought in a defensive player and everybody makes that big deal in Green Bay. And then his first year in New York, Aaron Rodgers has to watch his team consistently take non-skill players in the first round. This season they could have a shot at two skill players and they'd rather go that route and find themselves more of a project tackle perhaps later on in the draft. What do you think? Does that sound like a crazy idea, or do you think that's probably along the most likely play? Because listening to Joe Douglas there, he literally is just like telling you, like, oh, if this guy checks all these boxes, yeah, of course you want to take him. And then you ask anybody, well, tell me about Brock Bowers. Yeah, he checks all those boxes.
Yeah, and I'm telling
pretty
you
obvious
that, you know, they really love, you know, Carter Warren, man. I'm telling you.
I know. You've said that. Yeah, you've absolutely said that.
And Carter Warren was hurt last year. Remember, they drafted him fourth round last year from Pitt.
Okay,
so he was injured.
Here's more from Joe Douglas. Again, he spoke today. Joe Shane was yesterday. We can always go back on the stuff that Joe Shane said as well, so we can certainly get into the Giants stuff. As we mentioned, it is Barton Hunt. It's a Friday, so this is buffet day because there are a lot of headlines. We have the Knicks stuff to get to, of course. A play in the Sixers. The Rangers, and they start, the Islanders start as well. So we have the hockey playoffs, big playoff weekend here in New York, and then the Mets and Yankees get back in action, and the Mets are out in L.A., and they got Yamamoto. You know what else the Mets have, Bart, that we'll get into soon? They have their City Edition uniforms that are out. I'm curious what people think of those. So plenty of that stuff to get to. So we'll go buffet with the calls, but let's continue with Joe Douglas because, you know, like, this is still hanging over the franchise, by the way. Zach Wilson is still on the roster. They have not been able to trade him. he is not, like, as they have their workouts and all that stuff going on right now, off-season stuff, he's not involved in any of it. He is not at Florham Park. And you totally understand it. He's waiting to get moved. They said that that's the plan, that they would do that. And so Joe Douglas was asked about Zach Wilson.
So, look, I know you guys talked to Woody about Zach, and I share my thoughts are in line with Woody that Zach is an asset, and at that same time we're obviously open to trading Zach. There have been discussions. Nothing's really changed since we talked down in Florida, we're open to trading him. There's just no news or report on that.
What do you think?
I mean, that's to be expected, right? That's what we
expect. But my point is this. They're open to trading him. The whole league knows
it.
Who? No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What he's basically saying is no one's interested right now. So I don't know how you call him an asset. An asset is something that you can use to your benefit.
Yeah.
There's no asset here. You're going to have to. They're probably going to have to cut him.
There's a liability.
It is a liability. You're absolutely right, because they're probably going to have to cut him because nobody wants him. And then Woody Johnson said if we can't move him, they'd keep him. Which, I mean, again,
that's
if I'm Robert Saleh, I'm like, we are not doing that. Of all the things that are the options for this, that's not one of them.
Yeah, he ain't even showed up. Why do you think he didn't show up?
Well, I don't blame him for not showing up.
Because he knows he's not a part of the team. He don't want to be a part of the team. He knows he's not a part of the future.
Time to move on.
Or the present.
Right. But, I wouldn't call him an asset.
Right.
That's not the right choice of words here. If he was an asset, you already traded him. He has no value. That's a bad thing. Like, the fact that he's openly saying, yeah, we're open to trading him. And we've had discussions. But no news on that right now.
What did Mac Jones go for?
Which means nobody else wants him.
Yeah, what did Mac Jones go for? So are you trying to get a seventh?
At least. I mean, Trey Lance went for more. He didn't even play.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. Because if he played, that might have dropped. That's a problem. Zach played, and we saw what he looked like.
Yeah, probably too much, right? We saw way too much of what he looked like. But there clearly is no more. Like, this is almost Josh Rosen, remember?
Yeah.
And they ended up – did they trade him or cut him, the Cardinals, when they drafted
They traded him.
They were able to trade him?
They traded him to Atlanta, I think, for like a – four, seventh.
And then he ended up
he was only a year in. So, yeah, like, it wasn't that much in. People were like, oh, well, he's young. He's got time to develop. Let's coach him. So they were able to play that card with him.
Yeah.
You can't play that with Zach. Zach's got 4 years or 3 years of film.
Do you want to hear a little Joe Douglas about the Hassan Reddick trade that he pulled off? That was his big offseason move.
Yeah, let's see what he had to do.
This is a good thing.
Why not sign Huff? You know what I'm saying?
A positive about this.
Well, obviously he's been one of the most productive pass rushers in the league over the last 4 or 5 years, and just an electric presence off the edge. A guy that's a consistent finisher, and not only finishes at the quarterback, but gets the ball out usually when he does. And so adding that explosive element, and look, we feel like we already have a lot of supercharged Hellcats on that defense that can roll. So, like, that's just another one to add to the group. And so having that much juice and energy and speed and on the defense, it certainly brings an explosive element.
You basically traded Bryce Huff for Hassan Reddick. Is that a win? What is it?
Hassan Reddick is a much better player. I mean, outside of Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt, like, nobody in the last 4 years have had more sacks than him. You know what I mean? So, like, he's a closer and a finisher too. So that's a fact. So it's no denying, you know, what he's been able to do there. So, you know, Hassan Reddick is definitely a win now. Let's win later. Let's see what happens when they talk about getting his contract extension going. Because remember, that was the issue. It was the contract that he wanted when he was there. You know what I mean? So that's. That's why I think, like, if you sign in, you know, Bowers, then you got to be considering, like, oh, where can I dump some salary at? Well, Conklin, right? Because now that's asking Rucker in his third year to become a guy too.
And yeah.
Because you can't put everything on a rookie, so you're asking Rucker, say, okay, is Rucker ready to be the every down guy? Who's, you know, he's been waiting 2 years to answer that question. You know, he came in with that class that we had high expectations with 2 years ago, And this could be the year where he can kind of make some noise for himself and say, hey, man, I'm ready to take a step.
And we'll see what the Jets end up doing with Reddick, because obviously his contract expires at the end of this season. He'll be 31 years old, actually, when the contract expires. Howie Roseman didn't want to move on from him. You know, he spoke the other day and was, you know, obviously they're excited about Bryce. They're excited about they added Josh Sweat.
Well,
he just said basically that it was – he called it a win-win situation between the Eagles and the Jets. That's how he looked at it.
Yeah, and you look at what happens is, like, he basically got a similar player that's younger in his prime, and maybe he's not where Riddick is now, but maybe he can work to that as being a dominant pass rusher with the opportunity and somebody mm-hmm. giving him some job security. But also that brings that price down from Riddick, because he's not as expensive as Riddick, and that allowed them to do something that I didn't think they would be able to do, and that signed Devontae Smith, right? So they were able to lock Devontae Smith in because they were able to kind of cut corners a little bit and still hopefully, you know, start off young. Remember, they're losing Fletcher Cox. They're losing mm-hmm. Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
So that's money coming off the books. Graham is for 1 year as a buffer. So even if Huff ain't ready yet, they got a three-man rotation out there too, because they have Sweat. They already have Graham, who's been there, it seemed like forever, but had 9 sacks last year, who decided to come back for, I think, his 15th year. And now you have Huff there too as well. So, like, they'll be getting spelled and they'll have, like, that rotation too. But it allows you to take the money off the books, and knowing that next year Graham money is going to come off the books. So it allows you to, like I say all the time, it's a redistribution of funds is what mm-hmm. you have to always worry about when you talk about, you know, football. You know, it's like you can't keep money stopped in one place for too long unless that place is really, really special.
Quarterback, pretty yeah. much. Speaking of quarterback, Douglas talking about the Aaron Rodgers trade, because a year ago around this time it was starting to get hot and heavy.
We don't have a second-round pick this year. And if I had the choice of having the second round pick or not having Aaron, I would take Aaron 15 times out of 10. Like, the injury was devastating for all of us, but we're so excited to have him part of this franchise. And just the leadership he brings is, I've talked about it. You guys are probably sick of me saying it, but him connecting with his teammates, his presence in the building, you know, he's a great guy, you know, and I've really enjoyed getting to know him as a man and spending time with him. And, you know, I'm excited about this year.
You got to be about this year, because this is it, right, Bart? Like, it's like, okay, last year was a bit of a honeymoon. It was new. It was fresh. It was exciting to think about the potential of what could be. Then the injury happened, and we had to endure through another painful, just absolutely abomination of a season. It can't this is it this year. Like, we can't keep talking about what can be, what's going to be, and all that stuff. I really do feel like the Jets are in a place now, and so is Aaron Rodgers, where it's like, all right, let's see you in September. Like it's the hype and all that pomp and circumstance from last year, that's all great, but now it's time to see it on the field, and let's start seeing results here, because we've waited long enough.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the wait is over, and the pressure's on this regime to yield results. Nobody want to hear about, oh, they play hard, they're young. Nobody cares about none of that stuff.
To get to
it's
it.
It's either put up or shut up. You know what yeah. I mean? And I wonder, you know, is Woody allowing Joe to operate as if he's going to be the general manager of the future? Or is he making him operate as if, I don't want you to mess up future assets in case I want to trade you in and bring a new guy in?
Wow.
Or is he, you know, or is he acting as if, you know, listen, this is the plan. It didn't work out last year, but, you know, look at what you've done. Mm-hmm. You know, you're batting, you know, 75% of the moves that you've made have worked out. Are they operating moving like that? Because if they're operating moving like that, then I need to know about these future assets.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to be able to go out and still get the top, one of the top old linemen out there. Like, if you give them the green light, like, they don't have a second-round pick this year.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have a second-round pick next year with Hassan Reddick. I think that was part of the deal,
yes.
I believe.
Yes, it all depends on how much he plays. I think his production will decide what level pick it is. But you're right, it could be a second.
I mean, I would make sure that thing stays at a three. I'll let Hassan Reddick know, like, hey, man, we looking at trading next year's two. We can't trade next year's two if we already have it already in the deal. Mm. We can't do that. So now, like, you're talking about trading two threes next year or something like that, or maybe they can move it down, because if they were able to trade a 26 pick, was it a 2026 pick?
I just had it up, and
I don't think it was a 2025 pick. So maybe you can trade 2026 2025 next year, put that up there too. So you don't have a second round pick for 2 years. But the thing is, I think they'll get a compensatory pick maybe for Bryce Huff. I think. I don't know if they had we had anybody else that got picked up or something like that. But yeah, I think they may have get a compensatory pick. So I need him to operate and go. I need him to go get a young lineman.
2026 third round pick that can become a second rounder if he plays at least 67.5% of the defensive snaps and has at least 10 sacks.
Yeah,
he's done that in each of his last four seasons, by the way.
Yeah, he can have 10 sacks, but he's going to have 67% of the snaps, not 67.5%. Yeah, I'm going to need my analytics department to be
on
point.
That's what you can control. The 10 sacks you can't control, that's on him.
Yeah, no, I want all of them.
But how much he plays, yeah, you could definitely monitor that.
Right, so, I mean, but that means that they have their 2025 pick. Right, because it's 2024. So that and listen, I'm
it's 26. Right, it's a 26. It's not 25. Right.
Right. So if that's the case, I'm trading my 2025 pick this year for somebody to let me get back in that high second round draft pick to have a second round pick this year to make sure I get one of these linemen. Especially, you know, this is one of the deepest offensive line drafts in a long time. So like that means it's going to be so much quality because the receiver class is so deep and so many. Quarterbacks are going to get picked, and then, you know, it's going to be a little run on defensive tackles. So I'm definitely going to see if I can sneak up there and grab me a offensive lineman. And I think that's the best place and best course of action to go because I love, okay, you got the guy Bowers, but you got to get somebody that's going to start next year and somebody mm-hmm. that can maybe potentially start this year. You know, maybe it's the tackle from Florida.
Washington, right. There's going to be plenty of options. That's the good news is that even after 10 – you know, you might lose two of them in the later first round, but, you know, like there's and you don't have a second, so you're going to have to wait. So
that's right.
You
got
to have
to
find somebody who's a project, basically, and just continue to develop them and hope that it buys you a year. And then, you know, as these other guys get older or whatever, you have some guys now that have developed under some really talented veteran tackles, right, that you go forward with. Because at guard, you're pretty much set, right? You got your center. He's young. You got Vera Tucker's young.
Simpson's young.
Yeah, so you feel like you've got, you know, you're reasonably young at those positions, but obviously left and right tackle, they're not old, not like last year, you know, they're not Dwayne Brown old, but older, and you definitely don't want to be old at that position. All right, so that's the Jets, and that's Joe Douglas. That's the freshest thing so far this morning because Joe Douglas did talk just a couple hours ago. So we hit that out of the gate. But like I said, it's a buffet day today because there's a lot of headlines and a lot of things going on. Joe Shane of the Giants spoke yesterday about his situation, and we continue to debate the idea of Daniel Jones and whether or not do you go for a quarterback. Is J.J. McCarthy the answer? That name has been connected to the Giants. Or do they go Bo Nix? Do they try to get some skill and see what Daniel Jones can become? Or are you all set on Daniel Jones? Time to move on. There's all that happening. And of course, there is the Knicks and the Sixers. We already know that's your opponent. We have an eighth seed game tonight. Who cares? We'll watch, we'll enjoy it. But it is Knicks Sixers, and that starts tomorrow, game one, 6 p.m. at Madison Square Garden. And then, of course, the Rangers and Capitals are Sunday. This is the fun part. This is where it begins now. Every other game, every other day, we've got playoff games happening. The Mets also released, or actually, Major League Baseball released all of these City Connect jerseys. Bart, you got to take a look at what the Mets are doing. And I don't know how to feel about them. Because in one hand, like they look kind of cool. But on another hand, they got a vibe that I'm not sure you want to connect with. So anyways, we'll get to all that.
Put it in the tweet.
It already is in the group chat. And I already retweeted it as well. So if you haven't seen it, go to my Twitter. You'll see it right there. Definitely need to hear from Mets fans about this. Stay with us. It is Bart Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. We're less than a week away from the first round of the NFL draft. The Giants picking number six, or will they pick at number six? Yesterday, Joe Shane was asked about that sixth pick.
Surprisingly, at six, we've gotten a lot of calls from people behind us. So I didn't think I'd have as much activity at six from people behind me as we've gotten. So those are options, too. As we look at, you know, if we go back, how far back do we want to go? Is this team for, okay, then for the stack I was just talking about, okay, now there's 10 names instead of six or 15 names. And where does it make sense for us to move back and what else can we get with that? So we're taking all that, whether we go up, back, stay, all that's, you know, being talked about right now as we're going through it.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, It's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew, honey, during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I got a bone, skeet, bones, and all I got is five. I got five. It's almost 4:20. It's time to get high. Don't play.
Bart and Han, it's 12:35.
It's 12:35.
12:35.
And I got five. Well, inflation, right. I got 10. Because now... five is 10.
Just
and
keep
10
five
is five.
On it. Just keep five on it.
Okay.
Just keep five on it. Alan Hall, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We'll get to your calls momentarily. 800-919-3776. Knicks and the Sixers tomorrow night begin the playoffs at the Garden, game one. Tonight you'll get your eighth seed play-ins now. This is who gets to play the Celtics and the Thunder. You get the Bulls and the Heat tonight. It's the first game of the doubleheader. And then the Kings and the Pelicans. I mean, got to be honest with you. Is there any sizzle in any of these games?
Kings and Pelicans.
Nothing. No Zion. No Jimmy Butler. I'm all set. Like, I'll watch, kind of. But I'm not, like, I'm not locked. Got to be honest. Not locked. The NBA put out, as they do every year at this time, the jersey sales and merchandise sales lists. Do you think Jalen Brunson – where do you think Jalen Brunson ranks in jersey sales?
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, he does rank, so I'll let you
– New York don't show love like that, man. You know what I mean? They'll just as much get a DiVincenzo because they like him, like the color of his hair, than they will like a Jalen Brunson because he's the best player on their favorite team. I feel like the Knicks are different, man, because I feel like they go with the unsung heroes. It's like – personal swag, like where certain other places, like you gonna see Curry, you might see one Draymond. Like I would say he ranks probably 15th.
That's exactly where he ranks.
See people be thinking I'm crazy and don't be thinking like my thought process be right. See?
Or you just looked at the group chat.
I swear to God, no. Me looking at the group chat.
Where do the Knicks rank in merchandise?
Merchandise
in the NBA. Now this is all just this season. That's all. Like yeah. It's by season. So where would you put the Knicks in a merchandise, which includes everything sales?
See, but once again, so many of the Knicks stuff get bought on a secondary market. You know what I mean? The jackets that Spike got made and all that stuff, that's custom. You know all what right. I'm saying? So New York do that. So right. Where do they rank as far as what? What was it 30 teams? 31 teams?
30 teams.
30 teams.
Yeah.
They're about, Hell, I bet you Charlotte Hornets, because people love their colors better, could probably rank better than them. All right, I'll probably go I'll give them an upgrade. I'll say 12th or 13th.
That one's wrong.
They selling a lot of stuff?
7th.
Okay. Well, 12th or 13th, they ain't that bad. 12th, that's five off. You would expect the biggest market with more people living in this town than anybody, biggest city, right? And don't say we consume by two organizations, because nobody really counts. Like, unless you're trying to be like Jake and wear all black, you don't care about the Brooklyn Nets. Or unless you're buying them for the colors.
Unless you're the Mets and you put out your City Connect jersey and it's got vibes of there's all kinds of vibes going on there with that.
Yeah, I thought they should have kept it blue, man.
I did not get it. All right, so as far as the jerseys go. Jalen Brunson is 15th, right? And
yeah. Oh, let's play that game. Who's in front?
That's what I was going to do.
Oh, okay.
But this thing keeps popping off my screen every time I hit it. Who do you think was number one?
Number one, probably Wemby because all here. The French. Probably because Wemby because all the French people.
Wemby's fourth, which says a lot, but it is his first year.
It's
and
international.
Tends to be a popular jersey, so he's number four. Number one, top-selling jersey.
It's
in
not
the
Jokic because people don't like those.
Man, Jokic is 13th.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anybody that tries to sell the idea that he's the face of the league, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, nobody wants his body.
Nobody's buying his jersey.
Yeah, nobody wants his body. His game is good, but
he's a great player, but still.
I mean, listen, I would probably say Kyrie's higher than him.
Kyrie is not in the top 15.
Damn, Kyrie fell off. Dallas, nobody sees his games.
I don't know about that.
KD got to be up there.
KD is eighth. He's actually not even number one on his own team.
Damn, Booker getting more love than
him. Booker. Booker's seventh.
Oh, that's that Kim K. That's that Kardashian juice.
Who's number one? Number one, the top-selling jersey in the NBA this season.
Steph Curry.
Yes.
They love that little –
LeBron number two.
Yeah,
so Steph LA's number one, LeBron number two, Jason Tatum was third. Then Wemby.
Huge markets.
Yeah. But the Tatum is like a very popular player.
Yeah.
For somebody that like really
but not
if
famous.
You think about it, he's not like he doesn't seem to carry that kind of cachet of a marquee.
Well, Boston,
but yet he's extremely popular. Wembanyama, you can understand it. Giannis fifth. Luka sixth. I thought Luka to be a lot higher. Luka is sixth, then Booker
really
and Durant 7-8. Damian Lillard. Which I guess because of the move.
They thought it was going to be Dame time, yeah.
Yes. No, he's ninth. How about this one at 10? Didn't expect this. Tyrese Maxey. Maxey's jersey sales, Sixers jersey sales.
Damn.
Higher than Joel Embiid.
I'm going to say you haven't even mentioned Joel Embiid.
No. Embiid is 12th.
That's because they think he is a traitor. You know what I'm saying?
How about this, too?
If you'd have stayed with Cameroon, then all that. You know how many groups of African populations around here?
Yeah, people didn't want to.
You traitor.
11th is somebody that barely played this season.
Ja?
Yeah. So Ja stays at least popular among people that want jerseys.
Ja like Lil Boosie. You know what I'm saying? Like all the little young thugs, little teener boppers.
I guess.
Like all these little dudes with their pants hanging behind their pants and stuff like that. The fake thugs. That's like who Ja talks to.
The braids that cover their eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
That's that whole look now.
That little AI. He the bad boy.
Then Joel, then Jokic, LaMelo Ball at 14. Another guy barely played this year.
But a guy that's very popular, on social media.
Yeah, the kids.
He grew up in social media, and he's a guy. Like when you think about it, like Charlotte got some of the most iconic type of jerseys. Like people used to love their starter jackets because of color combinations too.
And then 15 is Jalen Brunson, so he cracks the top 15.
But you know, New York, they can't even vote for him for All-Star. Damn sure ain't about to go buy his jersey.
So Brunson's up there, though, but not there. All right, number one in top-selling merchandise. Overall, who do you think sells the most merch in the league?
The Lakers.
I told you the Knicks are seventh.
The Lakers.
Lakers, right.
Of course.
Number two?
Number two, I would probably say the Celtics.
Yes. And then number three then should be easy.
Can I tell people why I say that?
Why?
I say that because you have to think, like, when you think about the Celtics and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
They were dominant. They were dominant and had these long runs where they have these fans that are spread out all over the country. Yeah. That's going to support them no matter what because they were Larry Legend fans and that run. So that's pretty. Those are legacy jersey sales.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Heritage jerseys.
Yes.
Number three. I'm going to give you one more to guess on because this could be one you could hit. This one too. Number three. Give me the trifecta.
Well, I would.
Come on.
Well, you said it's not the Knicks.
No, Knicks are seventh.
Okay,
Knicks
so
number three.
Another legacy place.
Should be easy.
I would go with the Heat or the Sixers.
Nope. Sixers are sixth, which is fitting.
It's another popular team outside the Celtics.
Who has the number one selling jersey?
Oh, number one. Oh, the Lakers.
No. Who has the number one selling jersey?
What? Point? Oh, Golden State. Yeah, because it's the same thing. Legacy. They're the Patriots right now.
Yes. Well,
they're the Patriots. They had that dynasty.
But they're not as popular as the Patriots. I would probably they just have become the it team of this generation.
But they won four championships. Yeah. They're pretty much like Tom and Steph Curry's like
people
Tom Brady.
People weren't buying Patriots gear though. Like they weren't.
They were.
Really? I don't remember seeing a lot of Patriots gear.
Man, them Randy Mosses, man, in Boston. Well, that's basically Boston.
Milwaukee is fourth. Number five is great. Like I love this because it's not. There's no one on the team that's selling stuff. Minnesota. It's somebody who used to play there. Number five is Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan's jersey is still selling. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
because this dude is still selling shoes that he made 30 years ago, just changing the color. This stripe.
By the way, these are the threes. I'm trying to get the Jordan 3s that you know I love, the ones that busted my ankle.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get them in blue.
That's my favorite one.
Can't find them.
Yeah, I don't think they are
yet. Out of stock. Killing me. That's basically it. So Wemby's Spurs are top 10, and then Jokic's Nuggets is number 10. So anyways, it shows you popularity, right? It shows you again, when people say, why all you do is talk about LeBron and Steph, why do you only talk about the Lakers and the Warriors, you know, when we do get up and it's like, why do you guys only that's why. Because that we play the hits, baby. That's the most popular stuff out there. That's just reality. So, you know, is Brunson climbing the ladder? He is. But people can't act like he's arrived. You know what Jalen Brunson's got to do now to crack the top 10 in jersey sales? Go on a run this year. Not even a chip. Just go on a run this spring. This is it. Like, everything that Jalen Brunson has accomplished so far has been remarkable. It's been great. It's been awesome to see. But those fans now of his that are fighting back against the national media who say he's not a 1A, those fans that are mad about the lack of coverage he gets or respect he gets or any other stuff, all of you that are mad about it, understand where he's going to earn all of that is in the next couple of weeks. What he does and what the Knicks do in this first round against the Sixers and beyond is all going to decide whether or not he makes that leap as a quote-unquote star. The Knicks need stars. The Knicks have a star. Okay, this proves they do right here, right now. Am I wrong to say that, Bart? Because I think Knicks fans need to be checked right now because I face too many of the, they don't talk enough about Brunson. He's a superstar. He's this, he's that. And I'm like, hey, what do you always say to me, Bart? Make your name.
In the regular season.
Make your fame.
In the postseason.
And that's what's coming right now for him. He was good last year, but that was just a start.
Listen, 2 years because he announced himself a little bit.
Yes, he had the run with the Mavericks coming off the bench. You're absolutely right. So he is a proven playoff performer. But this is how you get to that stratosphere where you are the main piece, the face of a team that's on a run. So you want to see JB make this run. You want to see Jalen Brunson, your guy. This is your New York star that you've been waiting for forever. We all want to see him reach that level. It's coming right now. 800-919-3776. I know. I keep saying calls and buffet and everything else, but we had stuff to talk about. But we will get to all that, calls and everything else coming up. So certainly stay with us. But right now I do got to tell you about the NBA play-in tournament, which we have the 8th seed games tonight. They give you a chance. They give teams a chance to play into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place a $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. And there's obviously easy things that you could bet on here. I don't know. Three-pointers made in a game. Who you put, like tonight, for instance, looking at who? Kobe White, Chicago Bulls. Over-under, point totals. Heat Bulls, under. First basket scorer. What do you think, little Brandon Ingram? How about De'Aaron Fox? They got a lot more that you can do as well. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It was so funny. Like, so yesterday, Bart, I was... whatever day it was, I was killing time, and so I went shopping for, because like Kimberly Martin always keeps me up on, and she like lets me know like, yo, you need a fresher pair of J's. I'm like, yeah, you're right, something to match the navy blue suit.
Don't fall in her trap, man, because girls' dresses only cost 13 cents, you know what I mean? So they can spend extra on the shoes. Wardrobe.
So I know, I just went looking. You know, the threes are my favorite. I like the 11s, I like the threes. Like, I don't really go in between the too much with, you know, the different versions of the Jordan, but the threes are special to me, as you know the whole story. So I just went looking for a blue pair to match the blue suit, the navy. And I couldn't find, yesterday there was like all out of stock. Cause you put me on the Flight Club and everything was out of stock and I was mad. And then StockX has them at like 360 for my size.
You know who owns StockX, right?
Who?
Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, I ain't buying them there. So no, I'm only kidding. But so, because I'm a 14, and so it's so funny they pull you in with the size, and then until you realize that's for size 8, like then you click your number, it's like damn. So as we're in the break, I went back to Flight Club just to see, did we restock? We did. Navy blue, perfect. Size 14, perfect. 227, I'm in.
Allen, man, you got a base for inflation, man. Go get the ones you wanted originally.
I wanted these. These are the ones I wanted to match the suit.
Okay, there you go.
The same exact ones are $100 more on the other.
That's how they do it. That's how they do it.
Yeah. So
it's consignment.
It's amazing day to day, though. Yesterday
sometimes
I was there, they had nothing. Today, now all of a sudden we're in stock again.
So just so you know, Allen,
yes,
how this works.
Mm-hmm.
On Flight Club, they get their new stocks in every Thursday, just so you know.
Okay. Well, I think it was either Wednesday I was shopping. I wasn't shopping yesterday for it. I was too busy yesterday.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So Thursday.
It had to have been Wednesday.
Right, so Thursday is when they recoup. New
batch. Now, do I do fastest to you and spend the extra $25?
Nah, man.
Get it within 3 to 5 business days.
Who cares? They're going to be there, bro.
Ships today, though.
No, bro. Yeah, that's because they send in the slow skis.
Now, the other problem is, do I dare wear Jordans when the Knicks are in the playoffs?
You damn sure do. Guess what? You know how many Knicks going to have Jordans on and Kobe's? What you mean? You damn straight you put your Dre's on. They ain't got no shame in it. Then you don't have no shame in it.
I'm gonna hit checkout here as we go to break. I'm going to pick these up. I'm in a good mood now.
You know what I'm saying? The Knicks are winning. You about to get these extra playoff checks. You know, just think, I've been waiting for the Jets to give me some extra playoff shows since I retired.
Oh, you do a draft shows, man.
I'm like, damn. Yeah, I'm the draft show king. Like, highest ratings in NFL history, because everybody's hoping that this draft is the one that changes the outcome.
Bart has never hosted a Jets postseason postgame show.
I never hosted if they win, they in the playoff show. What the hell you talking about? I ain't even got that close.
You haven't been.
I ain't even got to play the show.
17 if they win there. No, yeah, you were. Yeah, 2 years ago?
I wasn't there. 13 people need to lose. I ain't even hosted a show like that. If 13 people lose, they got a chance. Like, the Red Wings have had better odds the last game of the season than any time the Jets have ever had a chance to get in the postseason.
So sad. Maybe this is the year for you. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, we both have a run in us in 2024.
At least get a brother 2 extra playoff checks.
I mean, something, right? All right, so this is what we do for you. A lot of calls to get to. That's what's coming up next. We've got the full buffet. It's Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So 76ers backup center Paul Reed said, the Sixers are happy they're facing the Knicks because that's an easier road. Yesterday on the K-Show, Don said,
why did we even play that sound from Paul Reed? He averages 5.1 point per game. He averages 13 minutes a game for his career. I'm going to talk to the ball boy. This is what's so silly. You played every star that showed respect. One yo-yo who's lucky to be in a league threw mild shade, and we're supposed to freak out. Like, if I was a Hardenstein, I'd be like, I don't know who that guy is. I'm not answering the question.
Yeah, but if you say, I don't know who that guy is, then you're falling
No, I think he'd be honest, because I don't think he knows.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it is the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.